Scott Canyon, listen route, Serrano Titus. If you look north, now the dark variation there, and I'm kind of looking back, looking a little bit backwards now, but that dark has no continuity with the ridge at all. It goes right down the middle of the ridges. As you look directly east of Lindrow, directly west of Lindrow, the wrinkle ridge is there, and then there's comes out, and you have the light tannish, dark, I guess you call it, dark tannish gray, and then you get out to the light tan of the Mare Serenitatis itself.
Okay, Ron.
Looking almost directly into the sun, and you can still see a topographic expression topographic high around the rills in the Taquet area, and also the grayness has disappeared out of that dark material, and it just looking into the sun now, it looks more of a tan, a darker tan than the Serenitatis area. And you can also see the topographic rise to it. Now I'm looking quite a ways away from it and looking down on it.
Patch. Turn the recorder on.
I don't know where I am right now, to be honest with you. I just looked out window 3 and I'm right on the terminator. And let's see, I'm going west. So we've got some arcuate. There's kind of a little bit of a mare area down there. Okay, I think it is. And you can see lava tongues sticking out through there, and lava flow fronts. With the high side on the east side, because you got a shadow all the way along the front. And they're about, in the one area that you might consider a scalloped area, an ejected scallop, but coming out of that one area, you can see a crazy, lava flow coming out from it.
Roger on that.
At least the flow. Those are Apennines just going over, aren't they?
That's right. That's what they ought to be. We need the IR off.
You look back out across the run. Okay.
We need the IR cover closed, please.
Say again, bro.
We want the IR cover closed right away.
Okay, it's going closed. Okay, it's closed. How about the UV?
Hey, Ron, that frantic call there was because the sun had started to get in the IR. We didn't, hadn't really thought that would happen, but started to see it get in there. But you caught it in time. The cover saved it.
Okay, real good. I figured that's probably what it was.
And you can go ahead with the rest of the steps in there. With the UV off after sunset.
Okay. Maverick camera's going off. Cover's closed in the IR, so the visual turns on. 10 cameras off test. Off. see. I don't see the sun shining on my light out there. It must be sunset. Should be yet, though. Yeah, sure enough, he is, though. Okay, UV is going off. Brought the IR cover back open just to keep things straight here.
Stand by on that.
Or just next time we use the IR, let's just remember to open the cover.
Okay, just open it up the next time we use it, which is in about 15 minutes. We'll remind you on that if you forget.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay. That's right. These are just short sound passes now, aren't they?
That's right. Ron, I can finish up my description of the last night's EVA if you like, since there's nothing to look at now. I'm watching the clock on the sounder start for you.
Okay, hey, appreciate it.
Okay, I think I left off or was cut off there about mentioning two varieties of breccia in the South Massif. They found blue-gray and tan-gray. And without going into the geological details, those are the two types they found up there at Nansen. The subfloor unit was exposed as blocks and injector around larger craters that had been partly buried by dark mantle, and craters that apparently penetrated thin parts of the light mantle. Especially good samples were obtained from the rim of Camelot, where the same textural characteristics, which are banding caused by variations in vesicle concentration, coarse grain size, and mineralogic features, as reported in EVA 1, were found. So apparently this unit is quite uniform over the distances that they've covered so far in the traverses. The prominent east-facing scarp crossing the valley floor from north to south about 5 kilometers west of the limb was traversed twice near the crater Lara, near hole in the wall, although hole in the wall appeared to be pretty subtle. No change in the surface characteristics or lithology of the mantle was discernible where the astronauts traversed the scarp. Outcrops of boulders were observed farther to the north. Where the northward extension of the scarp crosses the face of the North Massif, it forms a notably smooth and relatively young-appearing surface. Elsewhere, the surface of the North Massif is prominently furrowed and textured, and the crew described it as a crosshatch pattern on the surface that they could see, with one set of lineaments dipping eastward and the other westward at about 30 degrees. Some of the most interesting observations made during the EVA were related to craters. Many small craters within the dark mantle have glass-coated central pits. Jack called them dimples. Some of the pits are nearly cylindrical and maybe half again as deep as the crater itself. Other small craters occurring on both the dark and light mantle have bright halos, but these halos appear to be noticeably brighter on the light-colored material. This bright material is not blocky or fragmental ejecta, derived from a subfloor layer, but rather appears to consist of instant rock or soil breccia, which has been partly consolidated by the impact shock itself. The most interesting eureka during the EVA was at Station 4, Shorty Crater, where Jack found some bright red or orange, he described it, orange dirt within the gray to dark gray rim materials. The colored banding is circumferential to the crater and resembles alteration halos which occur around many terrestrial volcanic vents. So you can see why the geologists are excited on that one. The morphology of Shorty, however, is similar in some respects to impact craters, hence a definitive interpretation of its origin may depend on sample analysis. And I got about a minute and a half to start the sound, or you might be close to 2:30 there if you aren't. They took a total of about 850 pictures. They've taken a total of 1,270, would you believe, pictures so far on the lunar surface, including about 150 with the 500-millimeter camera, mostly of the north, south, east, Massifs, and Family Mountain. They got 56 samples, two double cores, probably about 36 kilograms worth, and they traveled a total distance of 20 kilometers. Over.
Hey, it sounds like a good summary. They're finding all kinds of things up there, which is the reason you explore, I guess, to find, see what you can find.
Yeah, they were really in their element last night. About 30 seconds to T-start time. I'll let you call it yourself, though.
Okay, I'll get it.
Then I get a little bit of a pull, a little bit of a
security blanket effect, huh?
Yeah, right. Now, that was the biggest problem the first two or three days here is what you do with your head when you go to sleep. I'm used to sleeping with a pillow. And used to sleeping on my side. And it's amazing the psychological effect that you can get from, for me it's hard to go to sleep just laying on my back. So you just turn on your side and you go right to sleep. Now what's your side, what's your back, I don't know, but anyhow, it works.
That's gotta be psychological.
It sure is.
Roger.
Data system coming on. Okay, smack power is on. Get the message that you're left.
We're getting some of that, Ron. Sounds like the mic might have slipped away from your mouth, so.
Okay, a good point. Let me change my headset here. Anyhow, I went right through the flight plan and all that stuff.
Okay, and
also got the IR cover open.
Okay, great memory there. Ron, if you like, while you're getting ready for the 52, I can summarize the news real rapidly. There wasn't a whole lot.
Okay, sure, go ahead. I got a different headset now. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're loud and clear. Former President Truman is still hanging in there. His heartbeat and breathing became unstable yesterday, but then improved again. Of course, the big headlines were about the discovery of the orange dirt at Shorty Crater. And there was a picture of Jan, John, and Jamie in the paper watching the EVA on TV. The only thing new on the peace talks is that Kissinger will probably be coming back to the United States today. And there's a rumor that the French press said that the compromise was in the work on the withdrawal of North Vietnamese troops from the south. The Rockets lost. The Arrows, the hockey team, won last night. They beat the Alberta Oilers. The Rockets lost to Buffalo. And the weather finally cleared out. A cold front cleared out the wet stuff, and last night, I think, was the first time since you guys launched that we've had a look at the moon, so we had a direct look at you last night. It's just high Cirrus and sunny this morning when I came to work. Over.
Hey, thanks for the news, and I guess those three guys that went up to the moon, you know, they probably cleared that weather up there in Houston.
It sure took you a while, though.
Right. 14 is Columbus again. That's the same ones I had last night, I think. My sextant. Good and everything like that, but you just can't quite get the reticle in focus.
Roger.
Yes, kind of the way they said it was going to be.
Okay, Ron, we copy those. Clear to torque them.
Okay, let's see. We'll torque it, make it 0630.
Alrighty. Ron, we've got still about 5-6 minutes to LOS, but in case we drop off when you're maneuvering there, just want to tell you that everything's looking good. In fact, the IR is pumping out good data, so with that fantastic teamwork, we saved it back here. And we'll see you next time around.
Hey, okay. Sounds good. There's a little Aldebaran in there. Saturn still must be out of the... Saturn goes into the...
some signal from the spacecraft America going behind the moon nearing the end of the 35th lunar orbit. That orbit measuring at this time 69.5 nautical miles by 53.6. There's a plan under consideration now for a small trim maneuver just prior to the plane change maneuver of some 12 feet per second with the RCS thrusters to tune up the orbit a little bit. This currently appears to be around 181 hours, 33 minutes. With the plane change approximately an hour later. Command module pilot Ron Evans continuing to operate the scientific instrument module experiments in the service module of his spacecraft. All systems apparently operating nominally. Three hours, 13 minutes remaining until the crew of Challenger is wakened at Taurus Littoral landing site. And at 1:57:16, ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control.
All stations be advised.
This is Apollo Control. We've acquired the Command Module America coming around on a 36 rev. He's on a bad Omni antenna at the moment and barely readable, but we'll stand by here until the communications improve and Gordo Fullerton can continue the two-way communication.
America, we hear your scratchy sounding Omni.
Probably so.
You're readable, but noisy.
You're cutting in and out on the Omni. I thought we couldn't get you.
Gotcha.
Okay, Houston's America. We probably have pretty good time now, huh?
Yeah, Ron, we're getting you now, and sound good.
Okay, don't have any observations to report from the backside. About time for blue bag number four. Somebody has got to develop a better mousetrap.
Roger on that.
Okay, OPAD camera is in standby.
Roger, Ron.
Power's coming on, and P over H is in high altitude.
Okay. Okay, Ron, we're ready for self-test.
Okay, going to self-test now. Barbara Bowl.
Roger.
Okay, by the way, Mag Lima Lima is empty. 165 frames showing there. We started Mag Mike Mike. Frame number 95. Finished the orbital science at 142. Checked the crazy camera at F5.6 at 125th. And I got ready to change to 5.6 at the 250th. I looked at the crazy thing and it was setting at F11. Maybe those first frames in there, maybe they could develop them a little different or something and still bring get them to come out.
Okay, Raleigh, got that.
I think what happens is I must have been holding the thing by the lens or something, or I bumped the F-stop thing somehow.
Ron, we're ready for pan camera power to off. And did you go to heaters after you put the self-test switch to self-test when we started this?
No, I just went back to off. Was I supposed to go to heaters?
Okay, we'd like it in heaters now.
Okay, it's going to heaters. No, it's spring motor to off, and I just left it there. Okay, it's going to heaters, and now it's going to power is off.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Are we ready for lunar center? 8 o'clock down here by panel 2:30. Not really. I can look back and see the LED with it. Teams, about time, okay? Lunar sounder is verified and standby. Recorder is going on. Radar is going on. And recorder off, not the heaters. Dip antenna one. Verify they're out, huh? Extend. No barber pole back to off. Number two, extend. No barber pole back to off. Okay. Mode is going to HF. And we take a look at Alpha is off, Bravo is off, B data is off, beacon is off, ranging is off. Okay, let's see. Goes on west. 104 frames. had his nose up against window 3 here. Got to wipe it off. Well, these windows have really been great, though. They haven't, don't have any coatings or anything like that on them.
Roger on that. Ryan, you said that was window 3?
Window 3, yeah.
Okay.
Scared me for a minute there. I was digging for Terminator photos and I looked on the near side Terminator and I didn't see any. It's on the far side.
Yeah, Stu and I were looking at the same thing. We're just about 30 seconds ahead of you.
Okay. Once the Aitken on the far side, okay. Aitken and Ibn Hayyan, I think, or something like that. Deber, Ibn Hayyan, yeah. Thank you. You know, coming across the attack A area again, and it doesn't seem to be any. If there's a bright crater, a recent crater in the annulus, in that dark annulus, the southern part of Serenitatis, it shows up again as that kind of blue-gray brightness, as opposed to the tannish brightness of the bright craters in Serenitatis. There still is no apparent Wrinkle Ridge. There's no color tone or differentiation in the Wrinkle Ridge area in this part of it. The only differentiation, and it looks like south of Tac A, you get the same color tone variation that occurs on over into Tranquilitatis. When you get up to the Tac A area, from Tac A up to Bella, I wish I could remember the name of that crazy crater.
How about Menelaus?
Menelaus, that's it, yeah. From Tac A up to Menelaus now, the that's got to be a buildup of material, and it's more on the tan side than it is on the, more of a dark tan than it is to the tannish gray. So it's a different type of material than on the annulus down below the crater Tac A.
Okay, Ron, are you saying this is sort of a annular plateau then that stretches across between Tac A and Menelaus?
Yes, it is. It's an annular plateau in there, and the plateau has got to have been coming from those rills that are down in there.
Okay, do those, maybe you've already said this, do those wrinkle ridges cross the color boundaries?
No, I can't find a wrinkle ridge that crosses the color boundary. The wrinkle ridges are out in Serenitatis itself, and there is no color boundary on the western edge of Serenitatis. It's all the same.
Okay. Well, those sound like super good observations,
over,
Ron.
I'm just passing over Sulpicius Gallus now. And just beyond Sulpicius Gallus is out in the Mare Tranquilitatis itself. And it looks like it's either a talus slope. You know, you've got a gentle slope of the Messite coming down, and then it changes slope a little bit, and it looks like you have a finer grain material. And that might be what we have at one time or another called a high water mark. But I kind of believe that's just a talus change in the slope as you go on down there, and a fine grain material somehow developing down there at the bottom. But as soon as you cross that area, we're going west now from Sulpicius Gallus. Again, we've got kind of the same tannish, a dark tan material that essentially covers the highland, or this highland type of an area here. It's a hummocky type material. There are a few rills just north of Sulpicius Gallus. Those rills, again, have the dark tan material on it, about the same as the same color tones that you pick up from Tac A to Melanase.
Okay, sounds great. Keep talking. We'll cue you as the flight plan events come up.
Okay.
decal there, sure fascinating. I'll try take a quick look at the binocs on that one. Binocs, and I can't find the crease. There it is. Pictures will kind of confirm a little bit of a topographic rise around the D caldera, just a slight one, and it's about half the width of the if you look at the D, it's a half the width of the D, not the height but the width, and it seems to be a raised flat rim around it. The color of the raised bumps down in the D caldera are the same as the surrounding material around there. The bumps that are raised up are smooth looking, and the depression part of it has to be a caldera, I guess, or at least the part of the depression anyhow is a light bluish gray, I'll call it that way. Very light bluish gray.
Hey, Ron, I'm not suggesting you do, because it's probably trouble to find. Have you tried the color wheel, comparing it on any of this stuff?
No, I haven't. Let me try. That's a good idea, though. I'll try that. See what I can come up with on that thing.
Well, don't go to a lot of trouble. I never got around to it, but you might peg down some of these colors a little better. Particularly when you were talking last night about on the backside on one of those passes about the green.
Yeah.
Okay, you're about 7 seconds away from we're wanting the recorder on, Ron. Any time here is fine.
Okay, recorder, let's see, is on. Verify radar is on, remote HF, okay. You know, to me, the moon's got a lot more color than I had been led to believe. Kind of had the impression that everything was the same color. Isn't that far from being true?
Okay. I guess maybe we could say perhaps color is in the eye of the beholder.
there's a considerable amount of truth to that.
Okay, Ron, we'll take the map and camera off now.
Okay, the old mapper is going off.
Ron, you're clear to go. Stand by on the mapping camera.
Hey, mapper's going to stand by. Motion off, rubber pole. Camera is off. And camera soft test. Off. Okay. Turn the old smack power off again. Service module AC power is off. Huh? Okay, we're going to go to plus X.
We're on about a minute and a half to T-start now.
Okay, Q-Relay Center. Omni Bravo. Data system.
Okay, 30 seconds to T-Star.
Okay, 40 seconds. Okay, I got the high gain off. Got my finger on the data systems. Hey, data systems are going off. Upgrade at 49.35. Give me a call on that, Gordo. I'll look out the window here for a bit.
Sure will, Ron.
A minute before that or so. The lights up, it may not be night adept. I was trying to think if there's anything else I could add to the Reiner Gamma observation there. I'm right over that the light albedo type material that goes perpendicular between Reiner and Reiner Gamma. It's kind of crooked type. Yeah, you know, it goes for a little ways and then it breaks off into a dark albedo type stuff and then breaks off in another direction a little bit. So it doesn't look like a straight ray at all.
Roger.
Yeah, you can see crater holes and this type of thing. If you look right down at the Reiner now, you sure got that dark annulus. The lighter albedo type stuff is essentially in the middle of it. And the annulus is, let's see, maybe 30 kilometers wide by twice as long. It's a relative size, anyhow, by twice as long. And that's the dark annulus, dark area. And then around that, the light albedo stuff is about half of the width. And it's lighter on the outside than it is on the inside. The inside is not quite as light as the I'd call it the rim, I guess. It's not very hard to see any great topographic expression to it, though. The reason I say that is because it kind of blends in with everything, whereas if you look at a crater out here in the middle of the mare or a hill, you get a brighter part of it's brighter than the surrounding territory, and you can actually see the demarcation. So that's the way you get your depth perception out of it.
Okay, about 30 seconds now till T-stop.
Okay. T-stop is 54.38, then we'll go to standby at that time. Bait switch.
Okay, I'll give you a call in a minute. Okay, Ron, it's been a minute.
Okay, recorder is off, not heaters. Radar is off. Data system goes back on. I gain antenna power on. And we're about minus 44, I guess. And select the old high again. There we go. React. Oops. Auto. Skim. And narrow. Intro's gonna do some commanding. Cover open there, let the bell windle get some data for a while for Dr. Lowe, whoever happens to be there. And I'll step ahead and sample the old bus.
Okay.
Houston, America, you might tell the medics not to pay any attention to those sample numbers on those buses. Pay attention to the GED time. Because when you take them out of the bus storage bag, the right one never comes out. I don't think it makes any difference. Just pay attention to the GED time.
Okay, Ron, pass that along.
Are the guys on Challenger, are they going to go out regular time, or they get a little extra sleep period here?
I think we're letting them sleep in again today. They're getting up 1 hour later than the flight plan shows. However, there's enough pad downstream that we're planning on ascent at the scheduled time.
Okay. Let's throw his vent on just for a little bit.
America, Houston, we've got a couple items of general information as you come up on AOS here, LOS. We want to remind you to close the IR and UV covers before you do any dumps. After LOS, you'll have to reconfigure the comm.
Okay, good idea.
And suggest you wait on the dumps as per the flight plan until after the photos. And we estimate the wastewater dump will take 10 minutes. Over.
About 10 minutes on the wastewater, okay. Okay. Let's see, we must be going over low bit rate. Okay, low bit rate with data system, so... No DSC voice. I'll write everything down. Awesome.
down there.
Just about LOS, Ron. See you later.
Okay, Gordo. Thank you much.
This is Apollo Control at 159 hours, 13 minutes, ground elapsed time. We've had loss of signal. As Ron Evans flying the spacecraft America, passed behind the moon, nearing the end of revolution number 36. Hour and 16 minutes until Cernan and Schmidt aboard Challenger are awakened for the third, for preparations for the third moonwalk. America now in an orbit measuring 69.1 by 53.7 nautical miles. We'll come back up at next front side pass by the spacecraft America in about 48 minutes and switch over to the wake-up call to the Challenger partway through that 37th revolution. At 159.14, ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 159 hours, 57 minutes, ground elapsed time in the mission of Apollo 17. Less than a minute away now as the Command Module America, Ron Evans, doing his orbital science task and orbital photography, as he comes around on revolution number 37, less than a half hour until the wake-up call is made to the crew of Challenger on the lunar surface. At that time, we'll switch over to the Air Ground 1 circuit and eavesdrop on the conversation between Cernan and Schmidt, and the Capcom here in Mission Control. We should have acquisition of signal from Command Module America. We'll come up with that line now.
I've got AOS with you. Okay, where's my meters off? Got the whisper stop at 10 at the bus.
Hello, America, are you there?
Okay, we got React and Arrow now.
Okay, you're loud and clear. Ron, when it's convenient,
okay,
I have a couple of updates.
Okay, finished up, Meg. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, on your present page there, the UV solar atmosphere pad at
160.38. Uh-huh. I have it.
Okay, it's T-start of 160.4122. T stop is 161.2647. And a remark that goes with that, you don't need to write this down, but the T start time is biased 10 seconds prior to when we really think sunset will occur. If you see visually, okay, my mistake, it's the time is 10 seconds after sunset, but if you see sunset visually, you can go ahead and proceed with the UV cover open as soon as you see it. But we'd like you to close the UV cover exactly on the T stop time as written. Over.
Okay, let's see. I'm with you. We'll make sure it gets closed at 61.2647. But we can open it as soon as sunset comes, okay?
That's
even though we haven't started pitching yet.
That's correct. And do you want to read back
okay.
The start time?
Well, start time is 160.4122, is that correct?
That's correct. 4122.
Okay.
Okay, go to 161.34.
Okay.
Okay, and the old standard map camera laser altimeter cover open, cross that out. A couple lines below at 36, cross out mapping camera extend. And then turn the page.
Okay, got him.
In fact, turn two pages to 16331.
Okay.
At 163.31, write in verify all command module VHF off.
Verify all VHF off. Okay?
Okay, that completes it.
Goody, I got a zodiacal light coming up there sometime. Blue filter, no less. Oh, I started to say, they could, of course, Aiken itself was down in the shadow, and the sun was really shining on window three. I took the first one, F56, at a 15th, second one, 5.6, 5.6, I mean, at a 30th, and a third one at a 60th, and then a fourth one at a 125th. And the fifth and sixth ones I took off to the north, looking off to the north, out of window four.
Okay.
And they were 5.6 at 125th. I kind of doubt it might work, but there's sure a lot of glare on the window. If it could get through that glare, well, then we got it made.
Roger.
Oh, the other thing I was going to tell you was that the magazine Quebec, I finished that was on 114.
Okay.
On that pass there.
Okay.
I don't know who took my water jug, but it's gone. Okay, overboard drink is burst enough, I guess we'll turn that on. The big filler on here, I always leave the hose and everything disconnected. Stick it back behind this rock bag. Break it off. You know, speaking of those rock bags, I unzip those and blow the air out of them every night. Wake up the next morning and they're full of air again, just like two big balloons down there.
How about that?
I don't know how to.
You can use one for the pillow you've been missing.
That's a lot. You could use that. And Eastern America, if FAO has got his finger on the next magazine, next Hasselblad mag I'm going to use, so he'd be looking it up here.
Okay, I'll ask him. Ron, I is scheduled to use Mike
water.
Next.
Go ahead. Mike, okay. Thank you. Can you hear me sucking all the bubbles out of my teeth?
No, we've missed that pleasure.
Good. Didn't want this box to be too good. Zero phase is going to go right over Proclus. Picard. This time. Let's see if that darkness disappears or if I can still see the change in the color on it.
Okay, Ron. you can put the high gain to auto next chance you get, and FAO advises there's no more optional film left on Mike. Everything that's left on Mike is scheduled up. Over.
Okay, I'll buy that. You know, you could even, at zero phase, went right across the Picard there, you could still see the darkness on the west, on the east. From 9 o'clock around to 6 o'clock, if north is zero.
Roger.
And if north is zero, as you look at the crater, then over about 1 o'clock, there's some kind of a fault area in the side of the rim. And that's another spot where the dark material drapes down into the rim and also out on the outside of the rim. And then you have that same type of impression at about 11 o'clock. You've got a black streak going down inside the rim, and then it widens out, going out toward a little crater out there on the outside of the rim.
Okay, you're scheduled to get a Verb 49 going now.
Thank you. Okay, we'll change your 78 plus 9. The dump or something, and then when the jets fired to kicked it loose.
Roger.
Maybe that's the particles of combustion. Burning. Stay there and we'll try it.
Ron, it's Houston. Check 979 again. We think you might have loaded R1 and R2 negative. That's the way it looked down here anyway.
Okay, I'll check that.
This is Apollo Control at 160 hours, 24 minutes. Switching now to Air Ground 1 for the initial wake-up call to the crew of Challenger. Asleep at this time at Taros Litro. Command Module America still has some 47 minutes remaining in this front side pass. We'll stand by for the wake-up call, which should be beamed up in about a half a minute or so.
I want you to say it first.
Hello there, Challenger. The Gold Team flight director picked out the morning selection. And he said that if you can find some maroon dirt today instead of orange, you'll probably get a lot more cooperation out of him.
I figured the Gold Team might do that. You know, I woke up to a lot of pleasant thoughts, but never to an Aggie before. Hey, Gordo, don't forget I'm a Boilermaker.
Roger.
I feel like one right now. Tell the Gold Team flight director we'll find about just about anything he wants today.
Okay, I'll do that. The Challenger looks as good as ever. No problems at all through the night.
That's outstanding. How's America?
It's in the same shape. Just clicking along. Ron's been up for a few hours now and really gathering up the data.
Outstanding, Gordo.
Challenger, the name of the game today is to stay with the EVA prep timeline. We're not going to talk much to you. We'd like, except to bug you a little and stay on your back to keep with the timeline if at all possible. We'd like to get out on time. Over.
Okay, Gordo, that's been our mode of all along, and we will stay with it. As of right now, we're 1 hour behind. Is that correct?
That's affirmative, though if you stay on the normal timeline, that's fine with us. We don't need to gain any, but we just don't want to lose any from where we're starting now.
Yeah, I understand. Ted, how are you this morning?
This is Apollo Control. A reference to Haggies has to do with the fact that the flight director, Gold Team flight director Jerry Griffin, is an alumnus of Texas A&M University. The wake-up music this morning was the Aggie War Hymn, E Pluribus Gigum, and Jerry proceeded to gig the crew with his own brand of music.
Houston, Challenger.
Go ahead, Challenger.
Okay, Gordy, crew status is good. As you hadn't noticed. And, again, I'm not going to, we haven't kept an itemized accounting of the food, burning up blanks on the paper to do that. But we have eaten just about everything in the various meals. I guess the shrimp was the only thing we didn't really eat. And we've been drinking a lot of water and all the juices and tea and stuff, so I think we're in pretty good shape there. Commander had a secret all last night, and he slept three intermittent hours. LMP had no medication and had 6 good hours of sleep. If you got some whipped off time data, well, I'll copy it.
That's firm. Okay, start with for Rev 38. Time is 162-22-52. Rev 39 is 164-21-24. 166-19-55. 168-18-27. 170-16-59. 172-15-31. That should have been Rev 43 and read back starting with Rev 38.
Okay, Rev 38, 162-22-52, 164-21-24, 166-19-55, 168-18-27, 170-16-59, 172-15-31, and what is our present Rev?
That's a good question. Let's see here. We're working on Rev 37. Ron just went by you about 10 minutes ago on Rev 37.
Okay. pressing on, but if you got any good words like news and what have you where we are, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, it hasn't been a lot of news, but I'll read you what we got. Former President Truman is still holding on. His heartbeat and breathing and temperature all became unstable yesterday, but then he improved again. A Methodist minister in Kansas City said he's a rugged guy who's hanging in there and he's going to make it. The headlines were full of reports of the find of orange dirt and the rest of your adventures yesterday. Internationally, the U.S. and North Vietnam held intensified secret peace talks, and Henry Kissinger prepared to return to Washington probably this afternoon, I understand, after a final session with Lee Duc Tho. The French press said a compromise was in the works on the withdrawal of North Vietnamese troops from the South. The Houston Rockets lost to Buffalo, up in Buffalo last night. But the hockey team, the Arrows, took a 6-4 win over the Alberta Oilers. And really, that's about it on the news, except maybe for the weather, which finally broke. A cold front cleared out the drizzly rain last night, and for the first time since you've launched, that I can remember anyway, we've been able to look up and see the moon directly. It's a pretty sight as always. That's not much of a report, but that's about all we had. Over.
Okay, thank you. What's the date today?
Well, it's Wednesday. Let's see. Wednesday, the 13th of December.
Thank you.
And right now it's about 1:35 in the afternoon.
Okay, just took a quick peek up there. I can't really see too much of the North American continent. South America looks pretty good, and it might be my eyeballs rather than the clouds up there, but it looks like most of the clouds are up into the north central part of the southwestern or southeastern United States.
I have a satellite picture here, and that's about the way it looks.
Well, it's sunny and pleasant on the valley of Torres Litoral. And Gordo, what is our sun angle going on today?
I get you an answer on that. A couple questions. First of all, the surgeon would like Biomed Right. And they were wondering how your hands feel this morning.
Answer, in good shape, Gordo. No problem.
Okay, sounds good. Sun is getting up there about 33 degrees now.
Okay, we'll go Biomed left, and both places have been topped off. Gordy, the LFP isn't hooked up right now. He will be shortly, so stand by on the biomed.
Okay. Say, I have a few words on the command module trajectory that might be of interest, although it doesn't affect your procedures any.
Go ahead.
Okay, the command module orbit somehow is missing all the mass cons, and it's not degrading into circular like we thought it would. It's just staying right where it was, about a 70 by 50. And so what we're planning on is an extra little maneuver about 1 hour prior to the normal plane change, which will lower the command module altitude at the plane change node to 60. This will be about 11 feet per second RCS burn. And then Ron will do the plane change at the normal time, but it'll be a little bigger than we had planned. I think the last hack was about 365 feet per second for plane change. And we've checked the consumables. That puts the RCS right on the pre-flight line. He's been running about 4 or 5% above it. That'll use up that pad there, put him back to nominal on RCS. And on the SPS, that puts you right down on the CSM rescue red line. So really no problem, in good shape consumable-wise. Over.
Okay, sounds like a good round of the posture.